Let's pray, and then let's turn to God's word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning and the joy and the privilege that we have of gathering together in this place to worship you here just in these brief moments before there's so much more that we could say. There's so much more that we could just go into and share about how good you've been to us. And so gracious and merciful in our lives. We don't deserve it one single bit. But yet, over and over, you keep showing us your love. And through the gift of new life, through healing, your healing hands upon our lives, and just how you meet us in the hardest of situations, how you provide for us employment and resources to keep us going. You sustain us each step of the way. And Lord, what else can we say but thank you and be amazed that you would even be mindful of us. And so, God, we love you. And as we turn to your word now, God, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts, and that we would be ready to listen as we desire to honor you and serve you more than anything because you are worthy. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, we are going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 today. Just the first three verses is where I want to look, and real briefly, as we are, as you see, it's a communion Sunday, and we're headed to a time of at the table together at the altar for communion, looking to Jesus. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and let's all stand for the reading of God's word this morning. The writer of Hebrews says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Amen. You may be seated. So over the past month, you know, the last time I shared a little bit about our trip, that we took a road trip out around the West, and so that gave plenty of sermon illustrations for quite a while now that I can just pull from a trip and talk about our experience there with that. And so we hit a lot of national parks along the way, and one of the things that we had the opportunity to do, or took the time to do, was do some hiking and take some hikes out into experiencing some of these places. In between our places at some of these national parks, we had the opportunity to stay in this beautiful place out in Montana, a place called Big Sky, Montana, and it was just as beautiful as anything. And there were tons of great views and high elevations and just places to look out at things. And so we decided to take advantage of the opportunity to be out in God's creation, and there was this a trail that was recommended to us as a 7-mile trail, and it was called Beehive Basin. And here's how hikes go for my family. There's those who don't want to take the hike. There are those like me who want to take the hike. There are those who are just dragging along because they have to and they want to get it done as fast as can be. And there's other people like me who want to stop and take pictures of all these views because it is so beautiful out there, and so end up dragging everybody back. And so it seemed like there weren't many hikes that we did together, actually, as a family. There were those who were taken off, and there were those who were straggling behind, and then there were those who, you know, were just worn out and tired and fatigued because not used to the elevation changes as we were high up there. And so that's how it goes. And as we're going along, and so the thing also is that you got people who are feeling really great about, and there are people who aren't as in good a shape, and all these things that are affecting, and And you get to that point where maybe you are just so beat and you don't think you can make it. And I'm not going to name names, but there was one of those people who I was hiking with and was just having a hard time. It was really hard, not going to make it, and just like we were going to stop. Probably didn't help that we only had one bottle of water with us on this, and it was just awful. And so we weren't prepared for it. But have you ever been there where you're just crying? And you're hurting, and you're like, I can't do it. I got to turn around, and I got to go back. There is no way that I can do this. And, Dad, we just got to turn around and go. And I'm like, no, we can do this. And the whole way, and you make it there. And you make it. But all the while, you didn't think you were going to make it because you were so tired. You're so fatigued and so worn out. I know you've been there. Life is hard. Maybe you're dry. Maybe you're beat. Maybe you're hurting. The weight of the world and so much is coming down on you, and you just don't have peace in your heart one single bit. There's so many concerns, and things aren't at all like what you'd want them to be and where you'd like to be. I know you've been there. I've been there. We've all been there. That's the human condition. That's what it is to be human. We get fatigued, and we get worn down physically and emotionally. We reach that point even spiritually, where we feel like we just don't have it to keep on going, and maybe you even get to the point where you don't even want to say it, but you don't even care to keep on going. And so this morning's passage, as we look at this, taken from Hebrews, is written to some people who are facing discouragement. Maybe, in a sense, they're ready to throw in the towel, and they're ready to give in. They're facing challenging times and trials, and so the writer here, that's what he's trying to do. He wants to encourage them, and he wants to build them up, and he wants them to know that they, just to encourage them to keep on going. He's taken the first 11 chapters already just to pour into them and let them know if there's any question, if they have any question or doubt in their minds that Jesus is worth following, that Jesus is everything that he said he is, and that he is the Messiah. He comes around, and he wants them to know that Jesus is exactly who he says, that he is the one who is supremely worth everything, that he's the one who is over all things, that he is sufficient. And he likens here in this passage the Christian life to that of a race. And he gives an invitation to them, and he says, come on, let us run. And he gives an invitation to them, and he exhorts them, and he encourages them, and he desires to spur them on to run the race. And what he has to say to these Hebrews here is just as relevant for us today in our lives right now. And he says, if you're weary, when you're weary is what I just put on the front of the bulletin. If you're weary, listen in to what I've got to say, because I'm writing this because I want to encourage you to keep on going. And so he uses this analogy of a race. It's not a new analogy kind of thing that this writer uses. Paul, he uses it numerous places. Others also say it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul, he says this. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives a prize? And so run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we have an imperishable. And he says, so I don't run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. In 2 Timothy 4:7, he says this to Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And so to the person who's going through life, and life is hard and challenging and discouraging right now, where there's weariness in your soul, he says, guys, don't forget these things. And so that's what, real briefly, I want to look at this morning, and I pray as an encouragement to each of us, as maybe that's where we're at, maybe that's where you're at in your heart. Just weary and tired and burdened. And the first thing that he says here in that first verse that I want to point out is that he says, be encouraged. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, in light of the great cloud of witnesses that we've just talked about, and we've got to look at the context as what is this chapter coming after and what is he talking about? He says, be encouraged. These witnesses that he's talking about aren't just a bunch of people who are cheering you on, who are standing in the stands in a sense and just standing along the side of the race and saying, go, go, go. But these are people who have lived the life. They have lived a life by faith. even to the point, and have shown that Jesus is worth it, that he is worth trusting in and living for all the way. He's told them about Abel. If you look back in Hebrews chapter 11, he's told them about Abel, about Enoch, about Abraham, about Moses. And then just a few verses before what we just read here at the end of chapter 11 and verse 32, he goes on and he lists a whole bunch of other people and he describes the lives of these folks who are the witnesses, who are giving testimony to what it is to live by faith. And he says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. This is amazing stuff that they did as they lived this life of faith. Nothing easy about it. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And then there were really hard things too that they endured. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword, and they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Nothing easy about it. And here we have the testimony of all of these people that the writer of Hebrews is just laying out, and he's saying, look, this is what it looks like. You can trust the Lord and you can keep on following after Christ. And even though it's as hard as anything, know that it's worth it. And this is what it looks like to live by faith. And even in our lives, it's going to be hard. And so be encouraged and keep on going because of the witnesses' testimonies that we have here before us. Don't think that following after Christ is a life of ease, but know that it is a life worth living. It's a life of faith. It's a life of being shaped into Christ's likeness through sacrifice and hard things, and a life through which you can find that God is faithful. So if you're weary in this life, if you're discouraged and you feel alone and maybe hurting, be encouraged and know that as you press on in faith, you're in good company. And so there's encouragement that he starts with here as he's writing to these folks, if you're weary. But also, don't think that this is a sprint, because he begins to explain to them and he says that this race takes endurance. Back in the spring, one of my kids, actually two of them, were doing this Healthy Kids running series thing. And so on Sundays, all these parents, and there's just a load of kids that come out for this event. And at the end of it, they had this this kind of fun run thing for that they wanted the parents to do and come out for, where you do a mile. The kids have already done all their running, and now the parents, it's their turn. But it was this day where it had just rained, and it was super muddy and everything. And it's my excuse that I didn't join in on the parent fun run. And so there I was, and these parents, they try to get them out there. So you see these parents come out, and some of them haven't run probably for a long time. And they walk out there and just watch this thing, and they say start, and there is this guy that just takes off. Like, this is the race you want to win. You want to be the all-star dad that just takes off. And so you got the pack, and then you got this guy just bolting like this is a 100-yard dash. It's a mile run. And he does not have sneakers on. He doesn't have shorts on. He doesn't have t-shirt on. He has jeans on. He has, like, dress shoes on. And I guess he's taken off whatever shirt he had, so he's just down to a white t-shirt. And he is booking it. I'm like, wow, Kristen, look at that guy go. And it's, like, amazing. And so he's taken off right there, and it's running around really far around the soccer field. And he's, like, already at the other end, and the rest of the crew is back here. It's just like this guy's showing off. And comes around, and so it's a mile run, and it loops back around. Where's the guy? You got everybody else coming, but that guy is nowhere to be found. And I'm like, Kristen, what happened? And so it's like, finally he shows up, and he's like at the back of the race. He's got I think by this time he's ripped off his shirt. He's like just walking like this, like Ben and Ari, he is dead. And this guy, I don't know, he must have thought this was a sprint, and because he was doing good, but then he really fizzled and he died out. And guys, as we look at the Christian life, we cannot think that it is a sprint. We can't think, I mean, we might look good at the beginning and going strong and hard, but you got to be looking at it as it's a marathon. And it's going to take time and being endurance, and it takes endurance. We can't just expect it to be easy along the way, but we pace ourselves and we give it everything that we got each step of the way. The life of faith, it's not one where we just meander around either. But it's not one where we coast, but we give it everything that we've got, and we keep our eyes on the prize and on the goal. Progress doesn't just happen. I've seen that as we've had this building going up next door. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of sacrifice. There's times whenever it doesn't go like we had hoped. It doesn't go with the timing and the speed and all of that. And there's things, I know Gary, he's constantly figuring, well, all right, now we have to adjust this and we have to adjust this. That wasn't in the plans. And so just constantly there's things that come up in life also. And you keep on moving forward and you do what you got to do. And you press on. And the same is true in our lives. And there's work to be done. And it could be so easy to coast, and there isn't anything that the enemy would want and love more from us to do than to do just that. But we keep on going. And like a runner, the Christian must be in constant motion towards the goal despite opposition. It demands strenuous effort and endurance, and that's learned through constant discipline and continuing to move forward. And so be encouraged. There's a whole cloud of witnesses. By their testimony, they'd encourage us to move forward, and that we know it's not always what we expect or even something that we'd want to go through, but it's worth it. And be reminded and know that it takes endurance to keep on going even whenever it's tough. And if you're weary and in this race, hear the writer's reminder to make sure that you're not carrying anything that you shouldn't be carrying, anything that's holding you down. And he says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. He says, get rid of that stuff that's going to hold you back from being the best that you can be. Guys, you got to know that this is a spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. The enemy is going to do whatever he can to take you out and to hold you back and to discourage you. And there's baggage that we can accumulate in this life. And maybe there's stuff in your life that you haven't dealt with that's weighing you down. Maybe there's some sin, something that's going on in your life that isn't right at all, and it's just holding you back from running the race that God has given us. Get rid of it. On Tuesday and Thursday mornings, I usually join up with these guys, a few guys over at the Friendship Center, and we wake up and do a half an hour of some exercises that the guy puts on the board. And so it's like, all right, that's what we're going to do and just cycle through it for a half an hour. And this one thing that we haven't done it much lately. I think he figured something out. We don't like it. Whenever I joined this little group and did this, he would put this on the board where we run around the gym and we carry this heavy weight with us, like a kettlebell. And I've been to other gyms where, you know, you do it in both hands and like a farmer's carry kind of thing. But this guy, the idea was, all right, we are going to run with this heavy weight and carry it. It's awkward. It's not fun. It hurts me, actually, because it feels like I'm like not holding it right and I can't really run. And so sometimes I stop running. I don't even want to do it. And actually, of late, when I see that on the board, I pick the lightest weight I can. And that way I can run. But sometimes I think, isn't that what it's like? We go throughout life, and this writer, he's saying, if there's anything that you're carrying, that just let it go. Don't carry. You know, if there's sin, get rid of it. Stop. Turn from it. If there's some kind of baggage that you're carrying that you don't need to carry, don't do it. Put it down. This morning we sang of it. And that one song, where's the lyrics here? But it says this, be still, my soul, and know this peace. The merits of your great high priest have bought your liberty. Rely then on his precious blood. Don't fear your banishment from God. He's saying, I don't know what it is that maybe there is that is weighing you down. Is there fear? Is there guilt? Is there shame of any kind? Is there something, bitterness, that's just holding you down? You know, rest in what it is that our Savior has accomplished for us, that we can know freedom. Jesus has set us free. You know, an athlete, what does an athlete do? An athlete's going to do whatever they can do to get rid of the drag so that they can run faster and be more effective. Someone has said it this way: the athlete must discipline himself. He must divest himself of all superfluous weight, not only of heavy objects carried about the body, but of excess bodily weight. There are many things which may be perfectly all right in their own way, but which hinder a competitor in the race of faith. They are weights which must be laid aside. It may well be that what is a hindrance to one entrant in this spiritual contest is not a hindrance to another. Each must learn for himself what, in his case, is a weight or impediment. And so it's like getting rid of and laying aside whatever it is that's going to keep you. Maybe it's, and so that you can pursue holiness and allow God to use you in your life, in this life for his glory. And so when you're weary, hear what the writer of Hebrews says today. Be encouraged by the testimony of the saints. Know that this isn't a sprint, but run with patient endurance. And if there's anything at all that's holding you back and weighing you down, lay it aside. But most importantly, and now we get to it, he gets to the main point of how we can run and not grow weary and faint-hearted. And he says, verse 2, looking to Jesus. We run looking to Jesus. To live effectively, we got to keep our eyes on him, because we're going to stumble if we look away and we look to whatever else that we're getting involved in. Maybe it's some sin. Maybe it's looking at our circumstances and thinking, oh, things are so hard and things are so rough. But we got to keep our eyes on the Savior. Just took the motorcycle permit test. I don't know. I have this idea. I think it would be fun to do this. And so I take the test, and there's this question that is put in there. It says, you know, as you're making a turn, what should you be doing? Should you, like, be looking down or looking over here or where? But no, it says, where do you look? You look through it. Look through the turn. Look ahead to where you're going. Because if you find yourself getting stuck in your situation, in your place, you're just going to fall. You're not going to go where you want to go. And the same thing here, we are running to Christ. We are running for Christ. We're not living for ourselves. And we got to always keep him in sight. Everything that encumbers or diverts our attention must be put away. And the athlete has to keep his eye on the goal and keep on moving toward that with which he is pressing. Remember this, Paul says, run that you might obtain the prize. And our author's advice to his readers is just that. Keep looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He's the author, he's the founder, he's the captain, he's the pioneer, he's our leader, he's our champion, he is our everything. And so everything, our faith depends on him from start to finish. And he's the ultimate goal. Who, for the joy that was set before him, what did he endure? He endured the cross. He despised the shame, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so that's what Jesus did. That's why we look to him. He endured the cross. And just to help us as we consider the cross, as we come to take communion this morning and we remember what it is and the great sacrifice that our Savior made on our behalf, let's just hear what one commentator wrote concerning death by crucifixion. This is what our Savior endured. He said, to die by crucifixion was to plumb the lowest depths of disgrace. It was a punishment reserved for those who were deemed most unfit to live, a punishment for those who were subhuman. For so degrading a death, Roman citizens were exempt by ancient statute. The dignity of the Roman name would be besmirched by being brought into association with anything as vile as the cross. For slaves and criminals of low degree, it was regarded as a suitable means of execution and a grim deterrent to others. But this disgrace Jesus disregarded. as something not worthy to be taken into account when it was a question of his obedience to the will of God. And so he brought faith to perfection by his endurance of the cross, and now the place of highest exaltation is his. Friends, when you're weary, when you're faint-hearted, and when you aren't, remember the testimony of the saints and be encouraged. Run with endurance this race of the Christian life and follow after Jesus, and know that it's more a marathon than anything. And don't let the enemy take you out. He's going to do whatever he can. And most importantly, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep looking to him. Verse 3, he says it again. You look at the last phrase, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Do what? The first two words, consider him. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. And so as Christians facing challenges and hardship of life, are you weary? Are you here this morning? Are you hurting? And maybe now is a pretty comfortable season for you. Either way, God's saying the same thing to you, I believe, this morning. And he's saying, look to me, find rest in me for your weary soul. But don't coast. Don't just meander around. Run the race. Don't just sit around and not do anything. He says, he comes alongside us and he says, don't give up. Keep on running. Let's run. Let's go. As we were hiking up that mountain, we made it. But would we have made it? I don't know. If there wasn't one of us saying to the other, you can do it. You can do it. Let's run. Let's keep on going. Don't give up. And so here's the question. Are you pursuing Jesus? Are you running? Do you have your eyes fixed on him right now? Or are you looking more at your circumstances and the hard situation that you're in? Hear this passage once more as paraphrased by Eugene Peterson in The Message. This is how he puts it. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. So study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. And when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. And so this morning, friend, are you weary? How are you doing spiritually? Are you faint-hearted? And church, let's keep on running. Let's run with endurance this race that is set before us. And let's keep our eyes on Jesus. There are all kinds of things that can distract us and get us off course. But may that not be so. It's all about him. And let's keep our eyes fixed on him and follow his example. As we follow this fall season and enter in this season of ministry, we can't lose sight of what he has called each of us to be about. And that's helping people find and follow after Christ. And so this morning as we come, if you're a follower of Jesus, I invite you to come and participate in communion this morning. And if you're not a follower of Christ, I ask you not. Because it's all about Jesus, and we're going to keep on looking to Jesus. We're going to keep on considering him in our lives so that we might not grow weary and faint-hearted. He's the reason we're here. He's everything that this church is about. He's everything to us. He is our rescuer. He's our redeemer. He's our example that we have to follow. And as we come this morning, I want to encourage you to remember his pain, to remember his suffering, to remember the blood shed and the body broken for our sins. And might we reflect on his great, great love for us. And be reminded again of how we are to run the race and what it looks like to run the race. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for just the encouragement that your word has for us. Because no, without a doubt, there are plenty of us in this room who are weary. Plenty of us who are faint-hearted, that need the encouragement to keep on looking to you. And to keep on running. Keep living a life of faith and faithfulness to you and for your glory. So God, would you meet us now, and even as we come, as we partake of Holy Communion. God, that in an amazing supernatural way, as you do all the time and everything that you do, is that you would meet us and that we would leave here encouraged, blown away again by your grace and your mercy, ready to run hard after you. In your name we pray. Amen.